Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and click on our contact page, and it will direct you to various means that you can use to reach us. I man Twitter and Facebook, and Steve mans our email. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on our iTunes page. And okay, thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 2. No, we're not. We're discussing Vikings Season 1, Episode 5. It's titled Raid, and it is also directed by Kieran Donnelly and written by Michael Hurst. Any thoughts on this episode before we get started?
An entire episode about cockroach spray. I didn't think it would fly at first.
It works,
like, but it works. It works.
This is season 3, right? No?
The next one's going to be called Black Flag.
I know.
with no Rollins. No Rollins, just...
Oh, well, then they drop the ball.
He'd be great.
Rollins would make a great Viking.
He'd be a short Viking, though.
Hey, there are short Vikings. Svein is not tall.
He would be like the most motivated Viking ever. Yeah. He'd be like, we're going to get on the boat, we're going to go across the water, and we're going to kick some ass. Then we're going to take all the shit, and then we're going to come back across the water and do push-ups.
Instead of naming himself Rollins, he'd be Longboat. Because didn't he name himself after the trucking company?
Yes. Henry the Longboat.
Actually, that kind of works.
Yeah.
Just always intense. Always. Everybody's relaxing. When are we going?
He's like when everybody goes to Uppsala, you know, and takes mushrooms and drinks. He's like pacing the place doing chin-ups, you know.
Just, not drinking.
Not drinking anything except protein shakes.
Okay, so.
Get that out of the way.
Got that out of the way. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on the actual episode?
I enjoyed it. I agree with Steve. It is one of the best of the season.
Yeah, this story arc. Actually, last episode was the first of kind of like a loose trilogy in the middle of the season. And this is obviously the second episode. And this story arc is, like I said last time, it's one of my favorites. And this episode's even better than the last one, so.
Yeah, when we get to the battle scene that we'll talk about here soon, I remember when I really feared for Ragnar for the first time, and I said out loud, I don't know if you remember, Steve, I was like, if he fucking dies, I am not watching this anymore.
I know, I was like, just calm down, just watch the show.
Like, what, you want to have sex with him or something?
Well, I kind of knew that.
Well, didn't you order her poster then?
Yeah.
I don't have a poster. I have a t-shirt. Well, he's not on it. Okay. Last episode, we left with Ragnar preparing himself for violence. This episode opens with the Earl blessing a child, for lack of better words, because I don't know if that's what you would call it, but he's doing something with the child.
Works.
Yeah. But he seems concerned about other matters. Ragnar and Athelstan are coming back from a fishing trip, and later, Athelstan is preparing food while Ragnar relaxes.
Go make some food, woman.
That already describes the dynamic, but to hit the nail on the head, Athelstan asks, if he is still a slave. Well, what do you think? Look at the situation. But Athelstan talks of the difference between slaves and free people in the Viking culture, which is kind of like exposition of the culture, I think. And Athelstan wants to be a free man. Ragnar says, if it makes a difference to you. And then Athelstan asks, what is Ragnar preparing for? And he also asks, what does the god say? And Ragnar asks angrily, what do you know about our gods, priest? And tells him to finish the fish in silence.
What is he eating that whole time? Is it like beef jerky or something?
I was wondering if it was like a fish tail.
I couldn't tell. It looked
like a stick of some sort of, you know, jerky protein.
Even. Some kind of dried meat.
But yeah. It was really, I mean, chewy. Chitinous.
Yeah, it looked chewy. And he didn't even finish it. He just got petulant and pissed and just threw it across the room.
It looked like, I think it reminded me of like a piece of a fish tail.
Yummy.
Yeah.
You want to be a free man. This isn't done.
Ragnar was really bored with that conversation. He's like, if it makes a difference to you.
Yeah, whatever. Just go finish dinner.
So later, Ragnar's household is doing their household chores, and Ragnar is out hunting in the nearby woods. Arrows are being launched into Ragnar's homestead. The Earl and Svein watch from afar, and they are responsible for this. Lagertha and Athelstan hear the violence outside. And Bjorn's outside, and he's actually the first to see an arrow drop. And he is now inside with them, and Lagertha gives Athelstan an axe. We'll get talk about that in spoiler section. And Lagertha and family prepare to defend themselves. Ragnar hears the tumult and runs back toward home. He makes some kills along the way.
There's some great choreographed fighting in this scene when he's running back towards the town and just kind of jumping and jiving to the side. Yeah,
I mean, Ragnar's fast on his feet. The actor himself, it's impressive.
Well, he was
a runner.
Well, he was actually going to be he's from Australia, Travis Fimmel, and I think they're equivalent of a football player. So
rugby.
Yes, actually, I think he was a rugby player, and then he hurt his knee. So that's, I think, how eventually
he went into modeling.
Well, I actually think a spotter found him. He didn't go.
He He's somebody.
He ended up being one of the most.
He was vain.
Yeah, so I was just thinking, I would like to take pictures of you.
Would you be okay with that?
He was like, here, let me move your hair out of the side of your eyes. Move your hair out of your eyes.
So beautiful.
Yeah, so some of great stuff happens where when Ragnar gets wounded in the leg. I think they're very, obviously they know it's great choreography because a lot of times when you see previews, they always show that particular scene. And like I said, I was really worried for his life at this point the first time I saw it. And then Svein shoots an arrow and Ragnar's back.
Little baby arrow.
But it's just such a shitty move to do that. You know what I mean? To hit somebody from far away like that.
In the back.
In the back. Yeah.
Well, maybe he was aiming at something else and just happened to hit Ragnar.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
He was trying to help him. Oh, no. He's going to hate me for this.
The Earl was behind him. You know, he's trying to shoot the Earl.
Okay. So Ragnar is seriously wounded at this point, but he's still on his feet. He makes it inside his home and tells the others to go to the boat. Lagertha follows orders immediately, but Bjorn is resisting. He does not want to go without his dad. And that makes me like almost want to cry, like seeing Bjorn that.
Did they pull the arrow out before they left?
He breaks it off.
That's right. That's right.
Ragnar breaks it off himself. I think doesn't he like back up against the wall and breaks off the back? And I think he breaks off the front with his hand.
And that's like so painful to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have squealed.
The small handful of times.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it. It'll be fine. It'll come out on its own.
Can you just imagine that pain, though?
Oh, Lord.
Jeez.
Well, the adrenaline, you got so much adrenaline going through, it'd probably be the best time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would hurt like hell.
Ragnar is being called for by the Earl's men, and he makes his way to the front door. He stumbles out to face the Earl, and Ragnar falls to his knees. Lagertha and the rest of the family make it out of the house through a crawl space of sorts and head for the boat. The Earl gloats over Ragnar, and Ragnar wants to speak to his god. Lagertha continues to guide her family to the boat, and they make it. Athelstan pushes the boat off, and they duck down into it so they are not to be seen. Ragnar asks for help, feigning frailty, and then he attacks the nearest man. He manages to flee on a horse. And on the boat, Lagertha and family see their home is on fire and their livestock is killed. Ragnar makes it close enough to the waterside to release his horse and then trek it on foot. He struggles and is being closely chased now. He climbs to higher ground and is now standing on a cliff overlooking the water. Ragnar is seen by Lagertha just before he falls into the watery depths below. Bjorn gasps. Athelstan jumps into search for Ragnar underwater and he brings him up to the surface. Bjorn is worried that his dad is dead. And Bjorn's like, is he dead? And next scene, the Earl is hopeful that the Ragnar is dead. I think he's asking if he's dead, too. It's a transition scene.
The scene where you're talking about the Earl gloating over him, he was like, you know, he had Ragnar on his knees, and he was telling him, he was like, all right, now you need to admit that you're a criminal before the eyes of the gods, and you need to admit that you're worthy of nothing but death and this and that. It's almost like he knows he's doing a shitty thing, and he wants his victim to agree with him to kind of give him legitimacy somehow.
That way he feels like, okay, well, I did the right thing.
Yeah, because this guy's going to tell me that I'm going to do the right thing by killing him. Yeah, and I'm a bad guy. Go ahead and kill me.
You've got witnesses saying, oh, we did, you know, when they hear about Ragnar's death.
And if the gods are watching, that's going to, you know, take him off the hook as far as the afterlife's concerned, right?
It's like probably, confessional.
And then when Ragnar runs, and right after he ditches the horse, and he kind of lays low, and the guys run by, it reminded me of like all the hobbits, whenever the Ringwraith is going through, it almost looked like the exact same scene. They're just, down there, like going, "Oh no!" In the remember that in the Ringwraith rides, like right after they get out of the Shire.
Yes, when they're hiding behind under the tree.
I guess it's under the
Yeah.
tree, but it
Yeah.
looks like it's the same thing. He's not under a tree, but he's
No.
hidden away from sight,
Yeah.
and then the people on horse ride right
Right.
by him. It just looked similar
They
to
do
me.
it in a lot of movies.
Like I said, the next scene, the Earl is hopeful that the Ragnar is dead. He's not happy that Ragnar escaped. He wants to talk to Ragnar's family as well. He doesn't know for sure if Ragnar's dead or not, but since there's no proof, he's assuming he could have possibly escaped and have escaped, and he wants to talk to Ragnar's family. Okay, I just repeated myself.
Do you think Svein is like his hype guy? Anytime he thinks he's made the bad decision, he always goes to Svein because Svein always like agrees with him. I think he's the guy that he goes to. Like, did I do the right thing today? Of course you did.
Yeah,
It's perfect
Svein
move.
says yes, man. Tells him
Exactly.
everything he wants to hear.
Okay.
Could not have been better.
So Ragnar and family flee to Floki's place, and this is where we meet Helga for the first time, who's played by Maude Hurst, and she is the daughter of Michael Hurst.
Really?
Yes.
A little nepotism. It's
Another he
okay,
has another
though.
daughter that shows up in season two. So we meet Helga, that's Floki's girlfriend. Floki tells Helga to get ingredients to make a paste for a poultice of sorts for Ragnar's wounds. Now we cut to the Earl and his family, who are meeting with a guest at a feast, and he introduces this guest as a Swedish noble to his daughter, and he's a cousin of a man named King Horik. It is soon obvious why this introduction is happening. Siggy is not happy, and neither is Thiri, but Thiri is actually polite about it. She handles it like a champ, in my opinion, because I know I would not have behaved that way. I would have been.
Basically, this old guy comes in. He's older than the Earl. I mean, he is an Earl, but he's older than Earl Haraldson. And he's like, "Yeah, sit next to my daughter so you can get to know her better." Siggy's like, "Why would he need to get to know her better?" Because they're getting married. Oh,
Boof. That guy smelled
doo-doo.
like farts.
So Lagertha and Floki work to heal Ragnar. Everyone prays to their gods, even Athelstan. Next scene, we have Siggy confronting the Earl about the Swede. She says he is old and he is ugly. The Swede is a powerful man, a co cousin of King Horik, which I said earlier, and he will give them 20 pounds of silver. Siggy asks if he cares for Ciri's happiness. As if, she's asking if the Earl cares for Ciri's happiness. Siggy is mad that she was left out of this decision. He talks of their sons. He gives Siggy the locks of their hair, and in comparison to their son's fate, being married to a rich old man is not so bad.
This was the first time that Siggy was hearing the information about how they were actually found, the bodies with the heads
Yes.
cut off and, the positioning of the heads and stuff like that out of disrespect. And he says that if he ever finds the guy who did this,
She was so grateful for their hair. I mean, that's what I was saying, that's the scene where I just felt bad for them. I saw a different side and
Well, the scene is obviously meant to kind of humanize them and give you a little bit of a sympathetic view and say, like, they've had to make some tough decisions and they've had to do live through
this
their
is kind of why the way they are.
yeah they've had their share of hardships, but you're still never going to be on their side because it's they're going directly up against the protagonist of the show.
Going against our hero. At Floki's, Bjorn cuts wood. Torstein arrives and asks Bjorn if it is true that Ragnar is there at Floki's.
DJ Torstein. It just reminds me of like a
It does
European
sound like a
DJ.
DJ
You
name.
know what I mean? Like, just it would be like for 3 nights only in London, or
DJ
Munich or
Torstein. Oh,
whatever.
yeah.
Just be like a big rave.
Torstein is brought in. It would be, Justin Theroux from Zoolander.
Yeah. You do remember the show Super Friends with
No.
Superman and all them on it,
Oh,
and they would
yeah.
do the voice.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, back at Floki's, because it would meanwhile back in the Hall of Justice.
So Torstein is brought in to see Ragnar. Torstein found out from Rollo that Ragnar may be at Floki's. Ragnar wants to know why Rollo did not come himself. Torstein tells how all the men are being watched. And Torstein takes a liking to Helga immediately. Lagertha talks of how the Earl took everything from them, and Floki says she still has her family, she has everything, but she's embarrassed because they're having to eat his supplies because they have none, his winter supplies. And Athelstan sings the birds again. It's the birds, right, that do that song.
Yeah, the time okay. for yeah. everything.
So Flukey giggles and tells Athelstan to eat a soup.
He has like two runners in the contest for best line of this episode in this one scene. The first one we kind of skipped over because whenever DJ Torstein meets Helga, he like looks at, you know, Floki looks at him, and then he does this little thing with his pinky and he goes, "Don't wave your little worm in her face. She's taken." and then the second one is, yeah, it's like Athelstan standing over there doing this prayer that he had done earlier in the episode too, I think. Or maybe he does it later.
Yeah, he did do it
and,
twice.
And he's like talking about there's a time for everything, a time to live, a time to die.
Right.
A time to do this and that. And it's much more like longer and cumbersome than the bird song. They kind of make it, obviously they're making it into a song, so they make it easier to listen to. But like Floki, it's supposed to be this moment of almost like sacredness where you're focusing in on this character, and he comes in with this almost like comedic relief and says, "Eat your soup, priest." He just gives him a bowl, "Shut up."
Mm-hmm.
And then Ragnar says that Athelstan's god sometimes sounds like one of theirs. So
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's already trying to mend fences.
Well, Athelstan saved his ass. You know, he dove into the water to mm-hmm. get him. Nobody else would have been able to do that.
Yeah, he keeps proving himself to Ragnar, taking care of his kids, helping the family escape.
Makes good food.
Mm-hmm.
So later, Ragnar talks to Torstein about why the gods kept him alive. Torstein asks, what is he going to do? Ragnar wants to know where is the boat. And Torstein tells Ragnar now the boat is, in theory's dowry. And Ragnar says that Floki can always build them another. And then Floki summons Torstein for something.
It's this old Viking hospitality.
Mm-hmm. So now we're at Thierry's wedding. Rollo arrives and is checking out the festivities. The Earl and Siggy watch him with angered curiosity. The Earl walks up to Rollo and says he does not remember inviting him. The Earl tells Rollo that it could be him married to his daughter. And Rollo's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm here for some booze.
Yeah.
And the Earl asks, why is he here? And Rollo says, we should talk. Any thoughts on
this
scene?
I thought the whole thing, the way that everything was set up, it reminded me of those old paintings you see of like Christmases up north. Hmm. Not up north in the United States, but like up north in the Scandinavian countries and everything. It looked very Christmassy mm-hmm. to me. Like there was, I don't know.
Like Kris Kringle?
Lighting and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Like the really old time kind of Christmas celebration stuff.
So the Earl announces that it's time for the matrimonial chamber. And I think he does this because Rollo wants to talk. He's like, all right, it's time to cut this shit out. Like, all right, yeah. Daughter, go screw that guy. We're going to go talk.
Ugh.
And I wrote, Thierry wants an epidural for her brain. The Earl asks, what does Rollo want to talk about? Rollo says that Ragnar is dead because he has not heard from him. And the Earl asks, why should he trust him? And Rollo says, he tells the truth and that is why.
Because I'm bigger.
That was a pretty good snap, though. He's like, yeah, you want somebody you can trust, don't you? I told the truth, you know. But that's kind of the wrong tact to take with this particular mm-hmm. guy, because he's not a real big fan of the truth, not no. so much.
Rollo wants to raid and fight. That's what he wants from the Earl.
Because that's what he was born to do.
That is what he was born to do. Warm it up, Chris.
It would be warm it up, Rollo.
Warm
I'm
it
about
up,
to.
Okay, so the Earl says, okay, let's do this, and you can eat my table for free.
And he says it like the consummate asshole boss. Mm-hmm. He's like, you can eat at my expense all winter long, you know, and blah, 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 and you're just like...
Yeah, we're just going to do that anyway.
are you trying to say, you know, you're just doing him a favor, or is he going to provide a service for you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like that stereotypical boss who feels like even though you're working your ass off, every cent that you get is like coming out of their pocket.
Exactly.
It's like, actually, I'm doing something in return for that. Yeah, I don't know if you realize it. Yeah. I don't just come in here and, you know, drink Kool-Aid and watch your guests dance around. I'm going to kill people for you.
So we cut to a very quick scene with Thierry lying there traumatized while the Swede snores. An hour to Athelstan, and he's asking about Valhalla. Floki tells of the slain who are brought to Valhalla to feast, how they will be summoned during Ragnarok. And then Athelstan asks, what is Ragnarok? And Floki is not forthcoming about this request. Instead, Helga talks of how the earth was shaped from Imri, who was, she doesn't mention this, but Odin killed Imri. Imri was a giant. She goes and talks about how Imri's body was broken up and basically formed the earth, like his skull forms the sky and his brains are the clouds. And I don't think she says how Midgard's actually in his eyebrows, but that's where Earth is. Anyway. So that's their origin of the Earth story. And Floki asked tauntingly to Athelstan, how do you think the Earth was made, priest?
He just has a sigh in response. He's like, like, what is he going to be able to say? I mean, this is such a creative, just off-the-wall story about all this other, you know, and it's obviously mythological.
He's like, on the first day, he said, let there be light.
Yeah, and it took him 7 days, but he basically just kind of did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
But
I like this scene, though, because whenever he's asking all these questions about, well, what's Valhalla? What's this? What's that? And then he get, you know, they keep making mention of Ragnarok, and he says, what's Ragnarok? And everybody just kind of like the air just gets sucked out of the room. And even Ragnar over in the corner, who's like carving runes or something on a piece of wood, he just kind of drops his blade like, so stupid. Like, it's the dumbest question ever. Like, how could you ask that?
So Rollo meets with Siggy. This is where you're like, say what? What's happening now? How long has this shit been going on? And we actually still do not know this answer.
I think that because she said, well, go ahead and just do the detail of the scene and then I'll tell you what I think, I guess.
So Siggy warns him to go, that her husband hates him. He does not believe that this is to be true, but she insists and tells him to get away. They kiss. End of scene.
Now, he walks into that place. And she's there, and he seems surprised to see her. And then she gives him that information, and they kiss, and, you know, she pulls away, and she's like, no, 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 no. Well, first the kiss happens, and then she pulls away, and then she's gives him the information. And he was like, well, I thought for sure that you wanted to, you know, I thought I was reading the signs all right. And she was like, no, 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 it's this is what I'm here to tell you, and blah, blah, blah. So I can't really ascertain if he had told, or she had told him to meet him there. I don't know.
I think they might have flirted for a while, possibly.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the first time.
Definitely not. I think that there's history there.
Yeah.
It felt like this has been going on to me.
Which is, oh, I can't say anything till spoilers, but it kind of fits.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
They do it.
So next, Rollo is walking through Kattegat. I guess he's taking her advice. And then he's attacked by a group of henchmen. He is obviously apprehended because next we see him laid out on a table. Siggy is there. The Earl looks at her questionably because she has a look of concern.
That look was pretty funny because he's like, he cocks his head to the side and he's like, what, like, what are you doing here and why are you looking at him like that?
That's my good coffee table.
Why is this guy on here? Why is he half naked?
I just freaking dusted that.
This has to be Svein's work because there's no real reason for him not to have a shirt in the middle of winter.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Who lubed Rollo up? Yeah. It was necessary to get his shirt off. It was so tight.
I tried so hard, but it wouldn't come off.
No.
Rollo is woken with a bucket of water. The Earl wants to know, where is Ragnar? Rollo says that Ragnar is dead. The Earl tortures Rollo.
Bastard.
Next scene, Lagertha is checking Ragnar's wounds. She says that his wounds will be healed in a couple weeks' time. Torstein arrives after being lost. Torstein was
He was lost?
Yeah, he
was wandering around.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he comes in and he looks like, you know, weather-beaten and stuff. And
close to hypothermia or something.
And they found him wandering around. I guess he got lost on his way back from the rave, is what I'm assuming.
Long night with the DJ.
He's still coming down off the X and he's just kind of...
Party. It was good.
This is the scene where, you know, when Lagertha is checking his wounds,
yes.
She's like, you know, you're going to have to stay still and you're going to have to relax for a couple more weeks. And then Bjorn's like, you must be patient, father. And he's like, you must be patient, father. Shut up.
Shave the rest of your hair off.
So Torstein is telling Ragnar how Siggy visited
him.
Torstein.
Yeah.
And that Rollo was being tortured. And this gets Ragnar's blood boiling. And Floki says, this is a trap.
Ragnar. Sorry.
Ragnar gets up and walks to the front door and he's looking outside so he can think. He talks to Floki. He has another favor to ask of Floki, and he wants him to challenge the Earl to a duel on his behalf. He wants Floki to be a messenger to say that Ragnar wants to challenge the Earl to a duel, to be more specific.
And if he doesn't accept, he's going to be disgraced in the eyes of God mm-hmm. and be barred from Valhalla forever.
And it's a challenge the Earl cannot say no to, so. End of episode.
It's a walk-off.
Boy, I really wish I knew what the name of the next episode's called.
Burial of the Dead.
Okay.
Burial of the Dead. Okay. Cool.
So any final thoughts on this episode before we move into spoiler section?
No, not really. Anything else is going to be part of spoilers, so.
All right. So we'll see you guys next time when we talk about episode 6, Burial of the Dead. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Why are we signing off?
Oh, wait. I guess we're not signing off specifically.
And I'm not Paul.
Edit it out. Edit it out.
Okay, so.
Spoiler section.
Well, it was interesting to me that Siggy was so against her daughter sleeping with this guy. Because if what we see in season 2, you know, after the rewatch, the first time it was totally understandable. It's like, I wouldn't want anybody in my family sleeping with that guy either. Yeah. But. Yeah, it was just she really does cross the same path sleeping with the king's son. You know, it just seemed like she would be like a little more understanding. Granted, yes, it's her daughter, but
It's one thing if she decides to do that of herself. If she decides that that's a sacrifice I'm going to make to get my family mm-hmm, forward or get myself daughter. Forward. But she cares about her daughter like a mother, and she doesn't mm-hmm. want her daughter doing those things. It's kind of like parents who do certain things in their life so their mm-hmm. kids never have to. I mean, it's the whole cliche thing. Like, I worked 2 jobs for 20 mm-hmm. years to make sure you could go to college and, you know.
That makes sense.
It is kind of weird that she was somewhat okay about Rollo being a prospect, even though she's apparently sleeping with him.
Well, I mean, if you think I'm obviously not a mother, but I mean, that guy is just dirty and nasty and disgusting.
Well, yeah, but I know.
It's still weird that she puts Rollo on the block.
That's why I think that there wasn't anything going on between them before that scene. I don't think there's a history there. I know you guys do, and I'm outvoted on this, but I think that kind of backs up why I think
there was familiarity, I thought.
Yeah.
When they kiss that time, and then she breaks away, and he's like, I thought, you know, he thought he was going to get some. You know, I think that if there was a history, it would have been something more along the lines of, oh, we're not doing our usual today.
I'm not sure that they were fucking. I'm just saying that it's possible that they were flirting, talking to each other. There's the familiarity of them actually having a conversation and actually being closer to each other.
But I really felt like they had met each other for the first time.
Really?
Whenever the Earl introduced them to each other.
I don't, because I feel like the way she kind of walked out and looked is just kind of like, look, don't forget me. I know you see my beautiful daughter. Like, remember me? Kind of, that's how I felt about it.
I think she just walks out onto the scene and she sees an attractive guy and she knows it's Ragnar's brother. And for all the reasons that Siggy is Siggy, she decides to insert herself into the conversation where she was previously absent. And
okay, well, here's a quick question, right? Is Rollo the strongest, biggest guy in town? Most powerful, you think? Just out of sheer brute force?
Probably.
Best fighter, too?
Probably.
Now, we know in Siggy's future, I still think it might have been, like, a backup plan. You know, like, the seed of, okay, well, if I flirt, get to know this guy, her husband is getting older. You know, she's going to need a replacement eventually. Maybe Rolo was, that's why I still think she might have given a little bit of information to the Earl. It just kind of all fits. Like, she hadn't quite slept with him, but there was, you know, a little bit of, like I said, it's a small town.
She's getting her backup plan in line.
Exactly. And she shows that she did that to Rolo whenever she started having sex with King Horik.
Yeah.
You know, so she's always going to have she's a survivor. Siggy is a survivor. She's going to make it through. She's going to use what weapons she has to make sure she's okay.
Because that's what she did when she attached herself to the, you know, like Ragnar's family after, you know, he kills.
I agree with that, but I think this has been going on long before this season started. So I think there's backstory there that we're not privy to.
I'm sure there'll be a book about it one day when we're on like season 10.
They could still reveal something down the road, maybe in conversation form. Or
they've got a lot of work. They've got a lot of work ahead of each other because after the fist bump episode, there's some damage to that relationship.
Yeah, but they kind of, there was something there that let us know they were on the mend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they're going to be together. But we'll see when they get to France. He may be like, whatever, I don't need you no more. I got Normandy.
I got French women now. Mm-hmm. Back it up.
Well, this episode fits what we had said in the last one about how the Earl forces Ragnar's hand. You know, it's just another example of being pushed into, this is his only way to get out of this is to kill him.
Yeah.
Or move.
Right.
And Ragnar's not the type to do that. Plus, how much older is the Earl? He's got to be a good 20 years older than Ragnar and Siggy.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
So it's time to go get his goodies. And
so if you take that into account, he could be defensive of his daughter's new husband because he's like, hey, look, I'm a lot older than you. Mm-hmm. He's a lot older than her. There's worse things than being with a rich old man, you know, as you should know, because you've had three of my kids and, you know, we're doing okay, I guess. So even though their relationship is strained.
Yeah,
there's issues.
Clearly. Oh, Athelstan and the axe. Lagertha gave him the axe. She's the first person to put an axe in his hand, and it becomes his weapon of choice that we see, which I think is pretty cool. That's why I said that.
I never put that together.
And then, of course, the whole ice water in the face. They're gonna probably see Rolo get a bucket of water in the face again. That might be a thing because. Happens
when else did it happen
too. Whenever Siggy does it while he's passed out and
that's right,
but she broke up ice on top of the bucket first and then doused him with it
when he was just taking his drunk nap in the middle of the snow.
It would be enunciated, by the way. No,
touche.
All right, that's it. We'll talk to you next episode, Burley of the Dead. I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.